Now let's turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. We're continuing on this morning with verse 6 of chapter 16. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So when we began looking at this, my opening comment was in regard to the window that is behind me. How that the window, when the sun is shining through the window, it is very beautiful to look at. But if you look at that window this evening, if there's no light behind it, it's just dark. And it has nothing of any greatness about it that would attract your eye to it. But when the sun shines through it, as it is right now, it's very beautiful and bright to look at. And so it is with God's Word. When the sun, the Lord Jesus, is shining upon the Word of God and opens our mind, that we are then able to see as we ought to see, the Word of God takes on an entirely different meaning. And that's what we're going to be looking at here with this verse of Proverbs 16 and 6. Also, let's keep your finger here and turn over to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. This is not really the first time that we've looked at this under a slight variation in chapter 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Let mercy and truth not forsake thee. When we read our verse, by mercy and by truth, iniquity is purged. That line of Scripture becomes so much more clear. It is like looking through that stained glass when you hold it up between you and Christ. The subject, this is a brief review here to set the stage for what we're going to look at this morning. The subject is the expiation or atonement of sin. The atonement of sin. This means that sin is purged. Sin is purged. Sin is taken away by the sacrifice or the substitute. And the substitute and sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. So these two terms in our verse, mercy and truth, when you balance them against each other, seem to point to the great facts which make up redemption. Pardon on the one hand, obedience on the other. The first tells how the guilt of sin is forgiven. How is the sin of sin forgiven? The guilt of sin. Mercy and truth. The second clause, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil, speaks to how the power of sin is subdued by the fear of the Lord. So you have the two standing over against one another. Mercy and truth, the fear of the Lord. Sin pardoned, sin subdued. The first speaks of that pardon, and pardon comes from God. The second speaks of obedience, and obedience then comes from man to God. While all the time enabled by God. Luke 11:4. Luke 11:4. And a very familiar verse, a very familiar passage. The Lord's Prayer, and a portion of that at beginning at verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us our sins is the pardon, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When one has been forgiven of their sins, they want to be delivered from evil. They want to, as our verse in Proverbs states, they are going to depart from evil once they have been forgiven of their sins. And as was stated earlier by our brother Bridges, man, left to himself, man will try to purge away his own sins by repentance and external ceremonies. Not repentance unto God, but an outward repentance. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to try and do better than what I've done before. Having nothing to do with God whatsoever, merely externally. And as Charles Bridges states, that's how man would do it. God determines it in an entirely different way. And how is that? By a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when the Lord pardons one from their sin, that one is converted to the Lord, and then that one wants to depart from evil. Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a beautiful verse this is. He that spared not his own son. That was mercy. That was God's mercy. It was a wonderful display of God's mercy and truth. It was truth upon an inflexible justice. God's inflexible justice. God demanded perfection. You cannot give perfection. I cannot give perfection. No one can give perfection other than the Lord Jesus Himself. And the Lord Jesus came and He lived a perfect life and He died that atoning death for your pardon of your sins, but He kept God's law perfectly. That was truth. It was truth and mercy. Mercy engages, truth fulfills the engagements. Mercy provides, truth accepts the ransom. Psalm 119:166. Lord, I have hope for thy salvation and done thy commandments. When we hope, As the psalmist sees here, I have hope for thy salvation. And then what? Done thy commandments. A departing from evil. It is when iniquity is purged by free grace that men practically, in practice, depart from evil. And not before then. Because they cannot. And why can't they? Because they have not been born again. They do not have a new nature to do that. They are dead. They are spiritually dead. And until and unless one has been converted, they will never depart from evil because their nature is evil. They cannot. It is impossible. They can change their outward ways for a while, just as those that in the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, Lord, that confessed, have we not done all of these things in thy name? And the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord never knew them in a saving, pardoning way. They were not justified. They were doing things that were outward, thinking that those outward things would justify them. While they saw the godly, which did those things, then they said, I want to be like them. I will do those things also. And thinking that by doing these things, they were going to be justified. And they were not justified at all. They were as far from God had they not done anything. How is our iniquity purged? How are our sins taken away? In the simplest terms, how may your sins be forgiven? By mercy and by truth. These same two things are repeated and proclaimed as the grand distinguishing mark of Christ's incarnation, His coming down from heaven and taking on a human body and a human nature without sin. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Did they believe on His name by themselves? Did they just decide to believe upon Him? No, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Just as our verse states, mercy and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. He was God. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law gives one of these, and the gospel gives the other. The law gives the truth. The gospel gives grace. But only in Christ crucified are both united. The law from Mount Sinai proclaims truth without mercy. And the unrenewed, unconverted heart desires mercy without truth. The one without the other, the one would result in the total destruction of all mankind. Truth without mercy. The other would totally dishonor God. It would be mercy without truth. Truth alone would honor God's law, but destroy the sinner. While mercy alone would shield the sinner, but trample on the law. And now we'll pick up this morning. If there were only truth, earth would no longer be a place of hope. If there were only mercy, heaven would be no longer be a place of holiness. On the one side is the just judge, and on the other the guilty sinner. If the just judge gives us what we deserve, there will be no mercy. But if we get our desire, there will be no truth. So you may get one at the expense of the other, but apart from the gospel of Christ, both cannot be accomplished. What we have to keep in mind is that both mercy and truth meet together in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mediator. It is in Christ as the fire meeting the water without drying it up. God's mercy is poured out on those who are one with His beloved Son. Iniquity, our sins are punished in the substitute, Jesus Christ, who is sacrificed and so purged our sins. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When one has been justified, one is justified. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That is fixed. And once that is fixed, what is that person's nature? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did one walk after the Spirit prior to conversion? Absolutely not. He could not. And why couldn't he? He was dead. He did not have a new nature. He was not in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was not in him. He had not been justified. He was still in a state of condemnation. The Scriptures from beginning to end testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And apart from the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin, we will not walk in the light. And two walk together except they be agreed. That verse just comes to my mind just now. Can two walk together in Christ Jesus except they be agreed? Two might actually physically walk together. Two might go doing the same thing while one is justified in the doing of it and one is not. That is the point. One has been purged of his sins while the other is doing something outwardly, while they both may be doing and saying the same thing. We're never going to understand the meaning of mercy and truth until we see this properly. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, familiar verses. Sometimes possibly too familiar for us that we fail to look at them as we ought. Verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus showed mercy and truth. He is the finisher of our faith. If you are a Christian this morning, if you know what I have been talking about, you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, as is spoken of in chapter 11. Let us, let who? Let those who have been pardoned of their sin, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. The things that will put us off, that will put us off very easily. And as Paul mentioned this morning, don't ever think that there's anything that you're not capable of. Don't ever think that the things that happen in the world do not pertain to you. Oh, that's beyond me. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't sin in that way. Those are careless words. Which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you are a Christian, there is a race before you. And we are to run that race with patience. How? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the very finisher of our faith. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word, and thank you for that which we have looked at thus far this morning. And we pray, Lord, that in all of this we might have a clearer view of you and your work, and us and our duty. We pray, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive that which has been spoken this day. For Jesus' sake, amen.